ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it's another big show. David Bender joins us shortly. Representative Rosa DeLauro, Representative Frank Pallone, and Carl Frisch, all of Media Matters, on the big show today. All brought to you by GoToMeeting.
Yes.
That's right. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. What? GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Yes, Chris LaVoy?
No, you said all of Media Matters on today. Not all of Media Matters.
It's that would be a little too. That would be a little too cluster.
Yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Mm-hmm. All right, just one of them, Carl Frisch.
Exactly.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Ooh, look at this unsolicited testimonial. Jonathan Staff. Good morning. I love your show. I'm active duty military, stationed in Germany at the moment, but it's the first thing I listen to in the morning on Stitcher Radio.
Yay!
Check it out. What is that? It's some new thing that's technologically magical, and it's on my website. And what is it, Chris?
Well, it's an app that you can get for your smartphone.
Yes.
Yes, you can get it for iPhone. You can get it for Android. You can get it for BlackBerry, Stephanie.
Thank God I'm so technologically evolved that I knew to... I remember one day I just came in and threw a fit. I was like, Chris, why aren't we
on Stitcher?
Stitcher.
Well, we are on Stitcher.
See, and that's what happens. And right away, we're on Stitcher because
well,
I said so.
Stitcher is a great radio service where you can subscribe to and
it's an app.
Yes, and listen to a bunch of different talk radio shows and podcasts,
including
the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That's right. That's the only important one.
That's right. Well, yes.
All right. A sort of a love letter of, a love and hate letter of sorts. Hillary from Texas. Staff, I started listening to your show years ago before you came out. During that time, I suffered again and again at the hands of unscrupulous men like most single females. I'd often think, wow, wouldn't it be great if I was attracted to women? I think I could have a great relationship with a woman. Unfortunately, I still think about having sex with a woman the same way a gay man does. No offense, but ick. After you came out, I was very happy. According to many noted websites like GodHatesFags.com and FocusOnTheFamily.com, the gay should have rubbed off on me by now, but every time I look at your website, I still find that I'm not attracted to you. Instead, I catch myself twirling my hair and wondering how Chris feels about long-distance relationships. I mean, we both have cats, which is good. He's got such nice arms and a great laugh, and he's so dreamy. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, you suck at this. I should be gay by now. Can't you call some of the professional gay agenda members and find out what you're doing wrong? Hope you do better in the new year. Hillary from Texas.
Hmm.
I'll just give you her email so y'all can get busy.
Thanks.
Poor Hillary.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's see. Oh, this is a sad story from Mark in Pennsylvania. It's a tough economy, is his point.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Steph, bad news from Lake Country. The Prairie Home Companion is laying off. He's a musician on Prairie Home Companion, the radio show, the Garrison Keillor Show.
Is he really?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
I guess it was only a matter of time for me. The axe fell in this latest round. Hey, Steph, any room for a musical saw player over there at Stephanie Miller? I can double up on spoons. Oh, well, now you got me. Fortunately, ask anybody that is on the show, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, we pay absolutely nothing. Yeah, this is
we did need a folksy element. Maybe a saw player or a spoon.
A saw? Spoons? Sure. Bring it for free. This show has become, the radio version of Tom Sawyer. It has, like, just painting. Look, Edie McClurg, look how much fun Hal Sparks is having painting the fence for free. Wouldn't you like to come do it? And she said yes.
Computer says yes.
We've tricked any number of people into
doing
this.
Only two people have come to their senses. Aisha Tyler and Alan Grayson.
Oh, well, because she got a job.
Well, yeah.
And he's not in Congress now. She got a job in Toronto, so she couldn't anymore. That's the bad news from Lake Wobegon, where the women are strong and the men are good-looking, and the children, every last one of them, will be looking for work, sorting pellets up there onto Iron Range Dare. Sincerely, Mark in Pennsylvania. Sorry, Mark. Bring your saw and your spoons. Come on. We can folks things up in here a little bit, couldn't we? Okay. All right, and Victoria, with a little joke here, I think we did the story already. She sent me a headline, a man forced to eat own beard in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Somebody had better warn Liza. Oh, come on, I don't know what that means. You could fill in Mrs. Chris there, or Mrs. Graham. Okay, what?
I don't know what I'm saying.
Mrs. Graham, there never has been a Mrs. Graham, has there?
Oh, that's right. He's a bachelor.
Yes.
I apologize.
How about Mrs. Dreyer?
I don't know. You know, I was thinking about that when they were both speaking out against overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
I was wondering, what does Mrs. Graham think? Okay.
But there is not a Mrs. Graham.
Oh, odd. Hmm. Odd that. All right. Oh, my God. How many people lost drinking games? Boner cried before he even started talking.
Three
he
times.
He had a hanky ready. Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't even know if there was a drinking game for that. We were trying to guess how far he was going to get through his speech before he cried. He actually, you know what? I was a little nostalgic. My dad always had that hanky, that white hanky that he whipped out.
Yeah, but he never cried on the floor of the house.
I was crying because I was a little girl, like I skinned my knee or something, and he'd whip out that white hanky so I could blow my nose, which is kind of gross when you think about it germ-wise.
Well, yeah.
Your dad would let you blow your snotty kid nose and then put it back in his pocket.
And then possibly use it again later.
Ew. All right. So anyway, yeah, but that was there's something wrong with boyfriend. I'm sorry. That is just not. He's got a problem. There's something wrong with him.
He comes across.
It's unprofessional.
Yeah.
You don't cry in work situations.
He's coming across as like a Nancy boy or something, you know?
Well, I don't name call, as you know.
Well, he's seeming a little weak there. Pelosi was a lot stronger than this guy.
Oh, my God. Did you see that? That's my other favorite part. Nancy Pelosi made a joke. Did you see that? God bless her. When she handed him the gavel?
Yeah.
John the Boner, a size queen.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? In addition to being a little weepy.
Oh, who's doing the name calling now?
See what I did there?
Uh-huh.
I waited about 10 seconds before I, Anyway, but she made a size joke about that this is the largest gavel that there is, this is the one he chose. Because he might be, you know what it is, Chris?
What?
A little bit of what I'm saying, insecure. Because of his inability to man up and stop weeping, he decided he needed to have a giant gavel to prove what a man he is.
Mm.
Yeah, she was totally a joke. It was great. She's like, okay, you need a much bigger one than I do.
Go ahead, prove that manhood.
Yes, a resurgent Republican Party gained control of the House yesterday. Isn't it exciting as the 112th Congress convened?
But you know what? The media treated it like the GOP became the rulers of the universe.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
They took over
Masters
everything.
Of the universe, yeah.
Well, they only took over the House.
I know. That's what I'm telling you. The media is not liberal. They like a story. They like a storyline that they think...
And they manufacture storylines.
Yeah. I love this. The Boner said the people voted to end business as usual, and today we begin carrying out their instructions. And meanwhile, it's business as usual. It absolutely, like, one story after another.
Yeah.
They're doing everything that they ran against. You know what I mean? This repeal, no transparency, no, discussion, no amendments. I mean, and their first act, ceremonial as it is, because health care is not going to be repealed, adds to the deficit. And so, conveniently, they changed that rule, that, you know, the first rule they made about,
right.
Oh, you know, everything has to be paid for. They're just like, oh, except not this. Because we're just going to... I mean, it literally... I was listening to Limbaugh yesterday, and he's like, oh, that's well, the Congressional Budget Office. It's like now that it's some sort of scary, conspiratorial, liberal organization. The Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan. And
which Rush Limbaugh has cited in the past.
Yes, when they need
when it suits
they,
him.
Right. Oh, well, they say, the deficit is absolutely not true. We know that's not true. It's like, huh? Since when is math, like, up for dispute?
It's not.
Yeah. Okokay, yeah, I'll get to Boehner, or what do you call it, Cantor's gobbledygook on that. So somebody finally called him on it. Like, how do you, this adds, what is the number, 143, what is it, 143 billion?
Something
I forget
like
the
that.
Number,
yeah.
143 billion to the deficit. And he just, like, they do this little, like, no, it, and then they, it's like, what? It makes no sense, their answer.
Nope.
All right. Meanwhile, it is completely business as usual. Most of the Tea Party candidates have hired lobbyists as their chiefs of staff.
Lobbyists.
They've been having lavish fundraisers.
Yeah. Lobbyists for big business and for the healthcare companies.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Within a few hours of the gavel, Democrats unveiled a plan to limit the ability of Republicans to filibuster their legislation. Mitch McLipless says no way.
Computer says nah.
Because it doesn't, apparently it was all a mirage, Chris, that the Republicans were unprecedentedly obstructionist. Apparently it's the Democrats that were.
Oh.
So it wasn't what we thought we were seeing in the last couple of
right.
years. No. Oh, all right. So, and then we were counting. I think it was three times the boner dabbed his eyes with a handkerchief.
Yes.
Before he even got to the.
Yeah.
Because, see, he was being made Speaker of the House, Chris, and as I understand it, he once had to work.
Oh, dear.
In a job, which is so foreign to most of us that have gone on to do anything. He apparently had to. He worked in a tavern.
Mm.
And so,
but he never had to wear lederhosen, I'll bet, or a kimono.
Yeah, or a polyester kimono and serve cocktails at Fung Lum at Universal Studios. Not that I'm bitter. If I ever get elected to anything, and who knows, at this point, look at the Tea Party, almost anyone can.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. Do you dare me? I'm going to break down and start crying about how I was a cocktail waitress at Fung Lum.
Oh, you need to.
How I had to work at a job, and now I'm...
Are there pictures of that?
I don't think it's... let's hope not.
Oh, boy. I'm on a quest now.
All right. And my personal favorite is Representative Daryl Asshat of California, the noted car thief, arsonist, insurance defrauder, steroid user, allegedly.
Some of that is not alleged.
Some of it's not alleged. Some of it is.
Yeah.
Much like his ridiculous investigations. Anyway, I love this. I think we missed the story yesterday, but he wrote to several business leaders, 43 of them.
Mm.
He wrote to, more than that. It's 43 regulations that he wrote to them about. He said, I asked for your assistance in identifying existing and proposed regulations that have negatively impacted job growth in your members' industry. So he's basically asking, what regulations would you like us to magically have disappeared into the cornfield? What would you like? How would you like to be regulated? Would you like to be regulated at all? No?
Computer says no.
Okie dokie, then. So that's the change you can believe in there that's coming in so far. Yeah, he wrote to all the business leaders saying, "What is there any regulations you don't like?" I'm guessing that they all wrote back and said, all of them?
Yeah.
All of them. Okay.
God.
All right. Nancy Pelosi yesterday handing over the...
However we may differ, let us never lose sight of our common love for this exceptional nation and our shared obligation to the way forward.
She did give him a nice smooch. The boner.
Mm-hmm.
She gave the boner a nice smooch and said, God bless you,
and came
Speaker Boehner.
And pulled back with Cheeto fingers.
Exactly. And she had those orange Cheeto fingers you get when you hug somebody that orange.
Yeah.
Which is a problem.
Yeah.
Did she take out a little handy wipe then? That would have been hilarious. After the joke, she just like hugged him and then took out like a handy wipe. Mm. Excuse me, I got to get the orange off.
Or she used Boehner's handkerchief. Snotty handkerchief.
Oh, wait. This would have been the best joke in the history of Congress, Chris. Okay. When she's holding the giant wooden gavel,
yeah.
Before she hands it over, she should have just sprayed it with Orange Pledge and just and just wiped it off a little bit and then handed it to him. The funniest ever. Why can't Carrot Top be in Congress? That would be hilarious.
God.
20 minutes after the hour, back with our shiny new orange Congress as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know it's hard to keep a good woman down. But then again, maybe that could be fun.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour.
You're sounding husky today.
I know. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free.
You okay?
From anywhere. I'm kidding. I have a little sore throat. Something's happening, Mama.
Well, something's going around, so
could
I don't get it.
Could just be a change. Okay, David Bender coming up in just a few minutes. Alrighty. So we got a brand shiny new Congress. Just sworn in yesterday, Representative Nancy Pelosi.
Pregnant women and breast and prostate cancer patients can no longer be thrown off their insurance. Our seniors are paying less for their medical prescriptions. Taken together, it will save taxpayers $1.3 trillion.
Thank you. Snap. Yeah, here are the fun facts on that. So repealing health care reform literally would cost billions of dollars. And there's a great story. Ezra Klein. I always say it wrong.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. Ezra Klein.
He even said it wrong to his face.
The worst thing about this is they know it. The name of his article, Repealing Health Care Reform Would Cost Billions of Dollars, and Eric Cantor knows it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so disingenuous about all this. This is why they have to change the rules, because there is no way to fairly argue. This is why they aren't going to allow debate or amendments or anything, because they don't want a spotlight to be shown on this. Here's the key thing, and this is where we've talked about before. They've won on some of the messaging of this. Polls have shown only 15% of Americans know that the CBO said it will reduce the deficit.
Yeah.
Remember I was telling you the vast majorities of Fox viewers think it will add to the deficit, which is exactly the opposite of what's true. And the more a spotlight is shown on this, mm-hmm. and then people are going to be like, oh, I thought you ran on reducing the deficit, though the first thing you're going to do adds over $143 billion.
Right.
Over the first 10 years, it would add to the deficit. Ezra writes, House Republicans are in a pickle. One of their new rules says that new legislation must be paid for. Remember that rule? Number one, A1 rule. But the health care bill reduces the federal deficit by more than $100 billion over the next 10 years. That's just over the first 10 years. Luckily, they figured out an answer to their problem. They've decided to simply exempt the repeal bill from the rules. Have they had to explain that to anybody?
No.
That means they're beginning the 112th Congress by lifting their own rules in order to take a vote that will increase the deficit. Change we can believe in, and, all that.
Blah.
Blah.
Whatever.
When Eric Cantor was asked about this, he returned the reporter's serve with a volley of nonsense. He said about the budget implications, I think most people understand the CBO did the job it was asked to do by the then-Democrat majority. Oh, see, there's a little conspiracy snossage there. And it was really comparing apples to oranges. What? It talked about 10 years' worth of tax hikes and 6 years' worth of benefits. Everyone knows that beyond the 10-year window, the bill has the potential to bankrupt the federal government as well as the states. That's all well and good, except that it's not true,
right.
As Ezra points out there. And he goes on with graphs and to show that it's just completely not true. And here's our mainstream media. No one just says, well, that's just completely not true. I mean, what you just said is completely not true. Cantor and the GOP know full well, Ezra writes, that the bill is unpopular largely because people think it increases the deficit. He talks about the polls I just mentioned. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. If in the repeal fight it becomes widely understood that the bill reduces the deficit, it obviously will become even more popular. And that's the other thing I heard Rush Limbaugh say. The American people don't want this bill. They just don't want it. And people take that like that's the truth. It is, again, absolutely the opposite of what is true.
Right. The vast majority of people want it.
Yes, they want the bill and or want it to be more liberal.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's see. So it's crucial as the repeal effort goes forward, Ezra writes, for the Republicans to become much more brazen in falsely asserting the bill doesn't really reduce the deficit, and that even if the CBO says it does reduce the deficit, they're saying that because they've been tricked somehow. But the CBO wasn't tricked. That's what kills me. And they will continue to cite them, I'm sure, for their bills, because it is a nonpartisan congressional budget office.
Yep.
So it's just, believe me, how much hypocrisy have they already shown? The first something bill that they want passed, they'll cite CBO numbers and say this is why. 29 minutes after the hour, David Bender is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Used to be you couldn't say crap, and then they let that slide, and now we can say whatever we want. Douchebag, asswipe.
Anal rot.
Exactly.
Radio's fun now.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Yeah, remember when you had to bleep that I'm an ass song? Remember that?
Yeah.
Who did that? Dennis Leary. All right.
You still kind of do, though.
Yeah, I just did.
Yeah.
Because I'm a puss. Okay, Ian writes, Steph, we have a new name for the boner, the leaker of the house. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the leaker of the house. All right, you know what? There's one thing I miss more than anything over the holidays, and that's my David Bender. Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. Happy New Year. And you know what? You can now say boner without being bleeped. I mean,
exactly.
There was a time, and I didn't know this until Matt Taibbi has a great piece in Rolling Stone about the new weeper leaker of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the name boner was not given to him by us, which I feel bad about. I wish we thought of it. That's what W used to call him.
Oh, really? Oh, that was
George
one of his
w.
little nicknames?
Bush,
ah.
The king of nicknames called him Boner. So I think we have to honor the Republican tradition.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to me, it's just a grammatical thing. I think you know when two vowels go walking, the first one does the talking. So I pointed it out being being grammar sticklers around here.
Sure.
David, we...
As we are.
Yes, we just wanted to go with the correct German pronunciation. All right. Boy, a lot of people, we were saying, lost drinking games on that one. He cried three times before he even started talking.
I cried before he started talking, too. So it was difficult to even see the bottle in front of me, or the frontal lobotomy. You said it exactly right, Steph. This is not a liberal or conservative situation. This isn't conservatives ascend and liberals in retreat. This is the media deciding they've got a new storyline. There's a new circus in town. We'll cover this circus. And when the clowns finally come out of, you know, the little automobile and it's all chaos. It's all crazy. They will be reporting, and I'm guessing it's somewhere around Labor Day, that the Republican House is in chaos.
Yeah.
Who could have imagined? These people don't know what they're doing, and they're at each other's throats. And Eric Cantor has turned on John Boehner because, of course, he's the most ambitious man in America.
Right.
And all of this is going to be new information to the media. And they're going to say, and guess what? Barack Obama is the grown-up. He's the only one who knows how to deal with this, and the inexperienced Barack Obama will suddenly be the experienced, calm leader while the Republicans are in camp. You can already write the story. You know how it's going to play out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. You look at just the first things. I mean, talk about a media story. It's a good show. Let's read the Constitution. Let's, you know, repeal health care, which we can't really do. You know, I mean, next up, as I've said, worldwide financial catastrophe. I mean, when you've got, even Bill Kristol going, well, that's just silly. Michelle Bowman is just silly. I mean, she's trying to, like, start a campaign to not raise the debt ceiling.
But the problem is when we go to the it's just silly place, when we go there, and that's the logical, rational, thoughtful place to go. All of those words, logic, rational, thoughtful, don't apply here. I mean, when the Tea Party people are out there waving their copies of, and I'm quoting here, the USS Constitution, I've got it right here. There is nothing that our discussions are, let's sit down and talk this through, guys. That doesn't work. This is anti-rational. This is anti-intellectual.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, let's talk about, since that's all the parlor discussion is about the boner, I mean, can you imagine if Nancy Pelosi had started weeping when she became Speaker of the House? I mean, and I wonder, is it just impolite to say there clearly is something wrong with this guy? And he's second in line to the presidency? I mean, it's just...
right behind the vice president.
Right.
That's exactly right. So,
right.
So you know, is there something wrong with him? You know, again, let me say, Matt Taibbi's piece in Rolling Stone details the history of John Boehner, and he is the most remarkably unremarkable human ever to be in that job. This is a guy who even Joe Scarborough describes as, lazy. He loves, more than anything else, what he loves? It's not the Constitution, it's golf.
Yeah, he loves to play golf and get to the bar by 5 o'clock, is what I'm told.
That's who the guy is. So is there something wrong with him? There's something wrong with a party or a country that elevates that man to this position, but, that's more of a commentary on our body politics than on John.
Well, I agree with Barbara Walters, who said, I think he has an emotional problem. What's not great about that? Getting psychoanalyzed.
I don't think of him on the couch, though.
She likes it when people cry. That's the whole point of her interviews.
Exactly, and Mrs. Boehner, when did you stop sleeping? Do you sleep in the same bed as your husband? Maybe he's sleeping with Rosalind Carter, for all I know.
That was my favorite part of the interview, was the chick moment between Leslie Stahl and Mrs. Boehner. She was like, oh, yeah. Jesus, he liked this all the time. Oh, Lord. All right. So let's talk about Mitch McLiplis. Obviously, his first words of the 112th, no change to the filibuster is what he's saying. It was all just an illusion, David, that they were being unprecedentedly obstructionist. Apparently, it was the Democrats that were, as you recall.
Yeah. 200 107 filibusters in the last 2 years, twice the number when the Democrats were in the minority over the preceding 4 years. So these numbers, again, don't worry about the numbers. It's like, you know, and I can't believe you actually listened to Rush Limbaugh. When I heard you say that a minute ago, my coffee went through my nose.
Yeah, threw up in your mouth a little. I know.
I actually can't. That's why I listen, so you don't have to. I don't even have to man up. I'm grateful to you. That's a Medal of Honor moment. But,
Thank you.
You know, just as he would suggest, the CBO no longer does numbers. These numbers don't matter. The fact that the Republicans have misused the filibuster in a way unprecedented in 200 years of American history, those numbers don't count, because that's that, as Karl Rove used to say, you know, that's not the real math. The real math here is that Mitch McConnell obviously wants none of these reforms and is going to posture. The truth is, and here's what happened yesterday, and this is the important thing for people to understand, this is still a work in process. The Jeff Merkley, Tom Udall, Tom Harkin resolution went in. They are now in negotiations. The vote, I think, is going to be January 25th, the end of the month.
And we should point out, David, that it's not getting rid of the filibuster. It's making important changes, no secret holds, and that you have to actually stand up like, you know, Jimmy Stewart and Mr. Smith Goes to White and actually filibuster.
That's exactly right. And that's why, you know, there's still a place people can, it's a website called fixthesenatenow.org. I am unaffiliated, but I will tell you that everyone can sign a petition, fixthesenatenow.org, so that it is clear that Americans say, look, you guys don't know how to do this. This is broken. You've got to fix it. And Stephanie, it's exactly right. If the Republicans, and this is what they're most afraid of, this is what they're terrified of, it doesn't end the filibuster. It doesn't make it, you know, necessary to get, you know, less than 60 votes to cut off debate. But it requires the Jim DeMintz and the Tom Coburns and the Jim Inhofe, I can hardly say these names again, to stand up there and explain why health care for children is a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is what we're saying about why they, you know, changed the rule on, you know, their pay cut, whatever the hell the rule they call it, for the health care bill, because they know it adds $143 billion to the deficit, and they don't want to have to stand there and explain that, and explain having to, you know, discriminate against.
They don't want you playing the soundbite.
Exactly. They're afraid of me,
that's
mostly.
That's what they don't want. And that's what we've got to fix.
And explaining why it's a good thing to be able to have Americans be, you know, discriminated against for pre-existing conditions, why it's a good thing that kids can, you know, get dropped for having pre-existing conditions again, and yada, yada, right?
Exactly. And to have Lindsey Graham standing up there and explaining why don't ask, don't tell is a good thing. Those are sound bites we want. And that's what they don't want to do. So it is, I actually believe these reforms can pass. I really do. I think this, there's
really?
Still 53 Democrats. It requires a simple majority.
And Mitch McConnell, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, if they can get that vote at the end of January, if they can get the vote in the Senate with all Democrats, and even Joe Lieberman says he's in favor of these reforms, or has said it in the past, God knows where he'll be when the vote comes.
Right.
But it is entirely possible we can force these people to at least be accountable for the insane positions
they
take.
Well, Mitch McConnell actually had the audacity to say, he said that the best decisions are made through consensus, not confrontation. Here's a guy who said his number one priority is the president being a one-term president. Yeah, that's not confrontational. He said the Senate was designed as a place where consensus could and would be reached, and that's why the recent proposal to change the Senate's rules by some on the other side is such a bad idea. I mean, he called the rule change unprecedented. What is unprecedented is the level of obstruction that he and his colleagues just participated in, which has made this necessary, right?
You know, I love joining you in the reality-based universe. I really do. But when you string these things together over a period of time, you realize that the truth and objective reality doesn't connect to anything that Mitch McConnell or John Boehner or Eric Cantor or any of these folks say.
Right.
And that's, you know, literally, they talked about the first vote that they're going to have in the House is on repealing health care. Next week, they're going to, you know, it's a purely symbolic vote. It will pass, and it will die in the Senate, but they're going to have this vote, and they have said flat out they're going to have all these votes in an open fashion so that people can have amendments. The thing they've been complaining about with Nancy Pelosi is that she was able to get things through with just up or down votes and no amendments. Guess what? no amendments on repeal.
Yeah, exactly. I love McConnell said the founders crafted the Senate to be different. They crafted it to be a deliberative, thoughtful place. Yeah, I don't think they envisioned Jim Bunning. Like, what? A guy that throws balls and scratches his for a living is going to stand there like an asshat and prevent anything from being done? I don't think that's what they envisioned.
And that's one of the other things in this reform that's going to, that should it pass, the secret hole, the ability of one senator, which has gone back for 100 plus years to object to something and stop it from being considered, the secret hold of an individual will go away. They'll still have a hold. But Jim Bunning, he's gone now, but Jim DeMint will have to stand up and say, I am holding up this nomination. And that way, at least there'll be a spotlight on these folks.
That's
what we want.
You've been so good today, David. I'm going to give you a parting gift. This is the joke you missed on Rush Limbaugh the other day about the birds that have fallen out of the sky.
I just understand those birds fell out of the sky. The sky hit the debt ceiling, my friends. Who knew that they could fly that high?
Wow, that's awful.
Oh,
there you go.
The pain. The pain.
All right. You, Honey Bun, you have a, well, how's it going with the Progressive Cruise?
We have added some wonderful folks. Thanks for asking. Patricia Schroeder, Pat Schroeder.
Oh, awesome.
Wow.
Fantastic. Former member of Congress is going to be joining us. It is progressivecruise.com. Alan Grayson is coming. Bobby Kennedy is coming. Mike Papantonio is coming. Mike Malloy is coming. And
wow.
And I am going to be sitting on deck every night looking up at the stars going, where's Stephanie? I know.
Oh, it's like the good ship lollipop without... Oh, I'm going to miss you too, honey. You know, Pat Schroeder, I bet you she's going to corner anyone that'll listen and go, are you kidding me with Boner? I cry once and I can't be president. This guy.
Exactly. And there it is. It's the Ed Muskie moment. You know, it's unbelievable. And, oh, and by the way, and Hal Sparks.
That's
Hal
right.
Sparks, yay.
You're going to miss him on Wednesdays, on the Wednesday, February 5th, leaving out of Fort Lauderdale to go down to the Caribbean, progressivecruise.com.
Awesome. David Bender, talk to you soon, honey.
Thanks.
All right, there he goes.
Yay.
Bender himself. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Amazing what sort of speculation you can find on the interwebs.
Yes. Well, apparently, some people say...
Some say
that... John Boehner is supplied a car and driver in D.C. because they don't want him driving himself and getting a DUI.
Oops.
Also, some other people say that he's been pulled over more than once in his home district in Ohio, but has gotten out of being charged with DUIs, allegedly.
Really now?
Yes.
Okay. Tina in Missouri on the Boehner as well. Hi, Tina.
Hey.
Hello.
Stephanie, I was just noticing you were asking about Boehner's problem, what could be his deal.
Right. Yeah, and, well, everybody's speculating. Is it drinking? Is it depression? Is it, is it?
He has all the signs of depression. He needs the sun, all that sunlight. He's got the chronic crying.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's been pulled over several times, he
allegedly.
Could be the medication.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Could be the medication that's making him not be able to drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea, but it does not seem normal at this point, does it?
No.
First you kind of go, it happens a couple times, you go, okay. But, I mean, this has become more than a joke, and it's like this guy is unstable.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
it's every time he's in public.
Power, being, is in that position he's in, and not being stable is not a funny thing.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, Tina. Now it's not really funny when you're talking about second in line to the presidency. And this guy is, literally every time he's in public, anytime he's given a speech on the House floor, anytime he's on television, it's like, what? I mean, that's just weird. And it doesn't even have a gender, right? I mean, a man or a woman
exactly.
That cried that much, Pelosi
would not have gotten 10 minutes away with that.
Can you imagine?
Would. Yep. No woman.
Yep, absolutely. All right. The Boehner in one of his rare moments of coherence yesterday.
Welcome to the People's House. Welcome to the 112th Congress.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I guess it was just the applauding for him that made him cry on the way.
Well, I've got news for him that, you know, the 111th Congress was also the People's House. It's not just the Republicans that make it the People's House.
Oh, no, now it is. Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's an asshat.
Yeah, I don't, okay. The boner.
The American people have humbled us. They have refreshed our memories to just how temporary the privilege of serving is. They have reminded us that everything here is on loan from them. That includes this gavel, which I accept cheerfully and gratefully, knowing that I am but its caretaker.
This giant, giant gavel that's the biggest gavel that's ever been chosen because some people might be a teeny bit insecure. About their manhood. Catherine in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Catherine.
Hey, first of all, a huge shout back to Rebecca on phones and drums because I missed her terribly.
We did too. We will not let her quit. She keeps trying.
Yeah. Miranda did a great job, though, and we were happy to have her, but we're also happy to have Rebecca back.
She did. She was on a sabbatical.
Yep.
I noticed. Okay, why when they talk about the deficit, do they not mention the dual illegal occupations? Why is that not mentioned?
Well, you know, Catherine, we said that yesterday when you're talking about, you know, how you cut the deficit, that's exactly right. I'm sorry, but on our side, we have the right priorities. There is spending and there is spending. You know, I think most of us could agree at this point, we need to get out of these wars, which certainly is what the president is planning to do and is trying to do. But, you know, tax cuts for the rich, getting out of the imagine what you'd lose from the deficit. We could get back those, you know, or get rid of the tax cuts for the top 2%, get out of Iraq and Afghanistan, which I know we're obviously heading that way. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, imagine that right there. I mean, literally, Chris, 3 and 4% in this latest poll I saw of Americans think that the cuts should be in Social Security and Medicare. Yeah. I mean, the Republican priorities are just wrong on each and every issue.
Yep.
All right. And that's the other thing, by the way, that they're just completely full of it. I think a bunch of them repeated this $100 billion, number. This is what they're going to cut right away. They're going to cut 100. And, of course, they're admitting pretty much they're full of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That it's like that you cannot make the deficit zero overnight without. I mean, that's the problem. During the campaign, remember they kept trying to hold them down. What would you cut? When you couldn't get an answer from one of them because it's not going to be popular what they want to cut. All right. The boner.
The people voted to end business as usual, and today we begin to carry out their instructions.
Sure you do. Oh, boy. By hiring a bunch of lobbyists to run all of our offices and throwing lavish fundraisers for ourselves already. All right, the boner one more time.
There's a great deal of scar tissue that's been built up on both sides of the aisle. We can't ignore that, nor should we. My belief has always been that we can disagree without being disagreeable.
Did he just say that? He just stole the president's line with a straight face?
Yeah, he did.
I see. Wow. Okay.
I repeat, he's an asshat.
Here's the story I was trying to remember. Republicans made a lot of noise. Pledge to America. Remember that? That's what it was. Regarding exactly how much government spending they were going to cut. Boehner, when they unveiled it, said we can save $100 billion a year. That's $100 trillion over the next 10 years. Paul Ryan said they were going to cut $100 billion. Mike Pence said that'll save $100 billion in the first year, whatever they were going to cut. Eric Cantor also echoed that. Now, aides say the $100 billion figure was hypothetical. And that the objective to get annual spending for programs other than those of the military, veterans, and domestic security back to the levels of 2008 before Democrats approved stimulus spending to end the recession. So now, when we come back, I'll tell you exactly what they're saying now. And they've just barely gotten to office. 58 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. So they're, when they read the Constitution, they're going to leave out the offensive parts,
yeah,
I'm told?
According to reports online, yeah.
Ah. Uh-huh. What are the, like the 14th?
Yeah.
Anything that might help the brown people or the gays or
yeah.
anything like that?
And the First Amendment, too.
Uh-huh. What is this, Huckleberry Finn? What, they're just going to rewrite history? Leave out the offensive parts of
that's
our own history?
Just what I told you. They're going to read the Second Amendment over and over and over yeah. and over again. And just stop.
Parts they really yeah. like. All right.
You know, with the Constitution, it's either all or nothing. You can't just pick and choose.
Mm-hmm. Although the Fourth Amendment is pretty much dead anyway.
But yeah.
Search and seizure. I mean, well. It's ever since 9/11, we pretty much in a
yeah.
dictatorship
yeah.
as far as that goes.
Yeah. All right. We were talking about before. It really, I have to say, in the stunning speed, they have already broken all of their campaign promises. They all of them parroted this $100 billion number. Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to cut
yeah.
right away. Chris Van Hollen said, you know, it's easy to talk about these things in the abstract. It's rather another thing when you start taking away people's college loans and Pell Grants or cutting early education programs. So they basically now admitted that was a bunch of bull. They said
oh.
that figure was hypothetical. It was just a thing they were, you know, it was a thing they were spitballing.
They ran mm-hmm. on that. Mm-hmm. They won elections with that number.
Suckers.
The latest flurry of budget promises that the GOP has broken, even before it officially comes to power.
Wow.
Repeatedly pressed about the $100 billion flip-flop on Fox News, Mike Pence, right-wing tool, said anyone who focuses on the $100 billion figure is just number crunching.
Just
because we said it.
Yeah, we lied. So? What are you going to do about it?
They use that number to win elections.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Mike Pence yesterday. On
Republicans are going to start from literally day one
right?
to change the culture in Washington, D.C. from a culture of spending
uh-huh.
to a culture of cutting.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What are you going to cut exactly?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Social Security, Medicare.
Medicare, yeah. Yeah. Okay, because that's what the people want, or at least
sure.
3 to 4% of them, according to the latest polls. 61%, Jim, think that the we ought to cut it by you know, having rich people pay their fair share.
$100 billion. It's just numbers. It doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm. All right. The important thing is it's time to get frisch.
Mm-hmm. Carl.
Okay. Carl Frisch.
Exciting.
For Media Matters for America. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, sir. Are you man enough to dive into the right wing world with
I'm
no
ready
foreplay?
For it.
All right, let's do it. Bill Hemmer on the Fox News.
A new era, America, in the nation's capital. The 112th Congress set to be sworn in. You'll see it all today. And in many ways, it's a return to a two-party system. Republicans
what?
Now control the House.
What?
Oh.
When did we lose our two-party system?
Wow.
Well, apparently during the Bush administration, it was not a two-party system with Democrats controlling the House and Senate. But you know, that's Bill Hemmer. He's a straight newsman. So,
Exactly.
I can't wait to see how fast it takes John Roberts to do the, you know, to spin his head around and become a Fox style anchor.
Yeah,
exactly.
That'll be interesting.
Not the Supreme Court justice, by the way, which wouldn't surprise me either with how many partisan
yeah.
things he's getting involved in.
Right.
All right. Drug addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh.
What is it with these Democrats anyway, sexualizing the opposition? Teabaggers, fetishes of the Constitution. These are perverts themselves.
What?
These are, well, don't roll your eyes in there, Dawn. I mean, it is what it is.
Mm.
These are perverts perverting the founding documents.
Mm. Well, he would know about perversion, wouldn't he?
Don't you hate people that sexualize their opponents?
Stephanie Miller is, who is a babe, by the way. I must point this out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it says something that Rush's own staff is rolling their eyes at him. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
And it wasn't just Snurdly this time.
All right, Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear.
I think it was an interesting day in that 2 years ago at this time, many people were saying that we had now seen a realignment, political realignment to the left. And this, I think, formally ends that supposition.
Boy, isn't this, don't you love the media storylines, Carl? Now it's a conservative revolution. It's a tsunami. It's a tidal wave that will last till the next ice age.
One party system.
Yeah.
Well, I love that they said that many people this time 2 years ago were saying that there had been a liberal realignment. No, they refused to give any credit for the fact that Democrats had won elections. If you recall, when Obama won the presidency, they said that he campaigned as a conservative. you know, it's as if when Democrats win, it's some stroke of luck. But when Republicans win, it's, oh, you see, the heartland. It's about the heartland.
Yeah.
They're really conservative out there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear as well.
The big issue in the election was health care, I think. That's why the repeal of Obamacare ought to be number one. It will be, and the symbolism is extremely important.
Carl, I've been saying it till I'm blue in the face, but they just keep repeating that people don't want the health care plan, and it's just not true.
Well, if you put like a fact filter on that, it would be the big issue in the election was not voting for the people in power.
Yeah.
You know, it had nothing to do with any policies. It had to do with, I mean, and the way you know that it had nothing to do with policies is looking at any exit poll that happened.
Mm-hmm.
They all said that they didn't like Republicans.
Yeah.
They voted for them simply because they weren't in power.
Yep, yep, yep. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know how many polls can come out that show that the majority of the American people are either for health care or for it if it were more liberal, not the opposite direction. And
well,
they just keep repeating
honest.
This.
The Republicans can continue to talk on this issue as long as they want. They'll talk until they're blue in the face. They don't have the votes to do it. So,
yeah.
You know, as long as they're not screwing with anything else, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Is it going to mean something to the base when they finally figure out that they can't pass health care repeal?
Well, it sounds like the Tea Party base of the party is already ticked off at them. You know, whether it's the $100 billion becoming $50 billion, becoming $10 billion, whether it's the earmarks that a bunch of leadership members took in the lame duck session, it sounds like the Tea Party folks already have a lot of reasons to be pissed off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, Britt Hume on the Brit Bear.
It was perhaps fitting that it took Nancy Pelosi longer to say her piece in surrendering the House gavel to John Boehner than it took Boehner to say his. It was as if the nation's first woman speaker could not quite believe that today was not about her. She used her remarks to list the wonders of her party's record. Never mind that record had led to one of the most decisive electoral repudiations in modern history.
What? Wow. Self-centered. How about someone that cries repeatedly about themselves?
Yeah.
Over and over again. Unbelievable.
Well, I think she just wanted to set the stage for him, you know. If she just let him get up there and cry, nobody even talk about her. But that people were, right-wingers like Michelle Malkin and others, were already complaining about the length of Pelosi's speech while she was giving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a talking point written before a word had been uttered.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Glenn Beck on the TV to finish us
out. Empowerment. And that's what I focused on, really, tonight, except the reverse of it.
Is she going to cry?
I say restore man's freedom. The left says tear it apart. Man cannot rule himself.
What?
He's focusing on depowerment, apparently.
Wow.
Or the opposite of that.
Yeah, I love that Chris says that Bill O'Reilly said last night that Boehner has a crying problem. And I'm like, did he say that to Glenn Beck? I mean, what is your theory on right-wing men? We were talking about Daryl Issa was one of the first ones out here in California. He cried like a baby when Arnold Schwarzenegger got into the governor's race and he realized that he wasn't going to be governor.
Well, that's because of his criminal record. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I cannot wait until everybody finds out that, A, he's the guy behind the Viper car alarm commercials.
Yes.
And the ads. That he was once, I think he was arrested for brandishing a gun in the office. And C, that he was once arrested for stealing cars.
Yes.
Which maybe led him to start the car alarm company. But I can't wait till people learn about him. I mean, this is the new era of Republican leadership.
But wait, you leave out the time that his business mysteriously burned to the ground right after he had taken out fire insurance on it.
So, I mean, this is the guy that when I was at the California Democratic Party, everybody learned to love. They followed him around with three or four interns dressed in black and white striped outfits and Daryl Issa masks.
Yeah.
Because they knew that this guy wanted to be a player. But he tried to run for the Senate, and the party rejected him. And he tried to run for governor, and the party said, no, Arnold's going to run now. So he's stuck in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, it is a bit of a motley crew that got into power this time, I must say. Good for comedy, as I always say, bad for the country. Carl Frisch,
yeah.
Always a pleasure. CarlFrisch.com is the website. Check it out. Thank you, sir. See you next week.
Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Great.
There you go. Oh, speaking of right-wing world, guess who got a boo the other night, Jim? David Koch.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Of the Koch brothers. David, he masks his role as one of the top financiers of the Tea Party movement by loudly tacking his name to more laudable charities like the New York City Ballet. So he was at a special opening performance at the Brooklyn Academy of Music shortly before Christmas. It's being reported a crowd of harried Brooklyn moms and salivating ballet-o-maniacs erupted in boos at the sight of the Tea Party billionaire. He got up to talk about how he actually just funded the ballet.
Right.
And almost got booed off.
Good.
Maybe more people are paying attention.
Now he's the un-Koch.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm very embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Playing all the hits from 1984.
Actually, Katy Perry did a remake of this on the latest, like, VH1 Divas Live. It was really good.
I bet.
Yeah,
she probably did a good job of that.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Representative Rosa DeLauro of the great state of Connecticut and Representative Frank Pallone of Joyzy joining us next hour.
And they
about
love
all
it when
things.
You say Joyzy.
Yeah, they really Joyzy. Love it.
1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone, well, it's in the words of Chris Christie. Shut the up. Is what you think. All right, let's, it's just fun to spotlight some of the new Republicans that have been elected. For instance, I might need my crime blotter music for this. Faye sends us the new, what's his name in Florida? Rick Scott. Newly elected Republican governor. Florida's Rick Scott.
Great Scott.
Prior to his electoral success, Scott was best known as a record-setting fraudster whose bilking of Medicare reached cartoon villain proportions under his stewardship at Columbia Hospital Corporation of America. They pled guilty to 14 felonies and were forced to pay $2 billion fraud settlement, the largest in the history of the United States. Good job, Florida. And, our car thief, Daryl Issa, seems like nothing compared to him.
Yeah, a biker.
Before he's even taken office, however, some Floridians are criticizing Scott for planning an extravagant inauguration ceremony in the midst of the state's economic turmoil.
Wow.
I'm not sure if his approval rating has dropped as much as John Kasich's before even taking office, but I'm just saying.
Did you see how...
It could be an all-time world record for buyer's remorse.
Yeah. Did you see how austere Jerry Brown's inauguration was?
Yes. Got out of a Volvo and
hot dogs.
It was like at a high school...
With a sack lunch.
A high school gym or something, and then... The free hot dogs and chips and bottled water.
Yeah, he's like, let's get to work.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Really is hilarious that this is the party that ran on, fiscal austerity. And it took, 1.2 seconds. Who was it that had the huge thing at the W Hotel? Huge Republican fundraiser, fancy dude.
What do you mean we're out of caviar?
With Leanne Rimes performing.
All right. So we've been talking about it. When is it? Oh, is it today they're reading the Constitution?
Beginning today, yes.
All right. Except leaving out the offensive parts.
Yes.
The Huckleberry Finnish parts. Representative Bob Goodlatte. Am I saying this right? Republican of Virginia? Goodlatte? 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 I don't know. Something.
Good. I don't know.
He will lead the GOP-led House in a ritualized reading of the U.S. Constitution. When asked last night if he shares the widespread conservative view that the minimum wage is unconstitutional, for example, he claimed he didn't know the answer to that question. See, Jim, this is what I say. It's the party of dumb. It's the party of
the
race to the bottom of dumb.
I don't know. Glenn Beck said it, so it must be true.
Where in the Constitution does it say anything about the minimum wage?
Yeah, I guess they do need that Michelle Bachmann Constitution class. This is the problem. The Republicans, I think, they need to actually, instead of just reading the Constitution and saying it and talking about it and how much they love it and blah, blah, they should actually tell the truth about their views. of the Constitution, don't you think? For instance, the not-so-fun facts. Many Republican elected officials have embraced rhetoric suggesting they agree with Justice Clarence Thomas that child labor laws are unconstitutional.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure we're really aware yet of exactly how radical some of our right-wing justices are and these people they've... That we have just
elected.
Slavery
ought to come back.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty good deal.
Senator Rand Paul, of course, famously claimed there are constitutional problems with the federal ban on whites-only lunch counters. Although Goodlatte claimed not to know whether the minimum wage is constitutional, Thomas and many other prominent Republicans believe it is not. Education. Senator Tom Coburn, Republican of Oklahoma, believes all federal education programs, including Pell Grants and student loan assistance, are unconstitutional.
Wow.
And he is far from alone among GOP members of Congress. Hmm. Gender discrimination. Conservative Justice Antonin Scalia, he recently, very famously, a couple days ago, expressed his view the Constitution has nothing to say about discrimination against the women or the gays. I guess it's silent on that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have no rights.
No. Goodlatte has cited Scalia as the justice who most reflects his own views. Ending Senate elections, Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, recently claimed the ratification of the 17th Amendment, which allows voters to elect their own senators, was a mistake. Scalia agrees with that. Eliminating the U.S. dollar, Representative Ron Paul, Republican of Texas, who will take over the House subcommittee that oversees federal monetary policy, has claimed paper money is nothing short of counterfeiting and has even called the U.S. dollar unconstitutional.
Oh.
Wow.
He should probably give me all of his. He should give me all of his. Yes.
Some radical ideas. Holy crap.
Social Security and Medicare, Senators Paul, Lee, and Coburn have all expressed views suggesting they believe these programs violate the Constitution. So there's your constitutional conservatives, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, party of the dumb part two. I don't know, more dumb or dangerous or both?
Dumdurous.
Yes, thank you. Newly minted term here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Representative Mick Mulvaney, Republican of South Carolina, the newly elected Republican, appeared on Fox News to talk about his own intention to vote against raising the debt ceiling. The host asked if he was willing to risk the possibility of a default on our debt. He responded that he has no difficulty in voting against raising the debt limit and that it's worth it to force a discussion about spending. The host said, "What do you think would happen if the debt ceiling wasn't raised?" Mulvaney responded, "Well, I don't know."
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I don't care. By the way, Irish people are now unconstitutional, Mick.
It is worth noting, since the debt limit was first established in 1917, gradually raising it alongside the natural growth of the country's needs has been completely uncontroversial. In fact, during the Bush years, it was raised 8 times. In 2006, it was even raised with support.
Well, that's different.
51 Republicans.
Well, that was a Republican doing it. That's different.
Hey, Dopey, here's what would happen. Worldwide financial catastrophe and meltdown. That's what would happen if the United States defaulted on their debt.
Yay. I don't know.
T-Bagger told me to say it. I don't know. Wow. All right. 29. That's all I can say. Wow. 29.
Dumdurous.
Dumdurous. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is the ultimate cougar, but her show stirred up a lot of cougarlicious controversy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, I have a guest for you. Who said Republicans are a hopeless sellout party that will never do anything constructive for ordinary people in this country? Who said that?
Carl Reiner.
No. Yes, though. No, Alan Grayson, my beloved.
Close.
We have to get him on. I have his number somewhere. I just have to find it. But he's been great on TV. The great piece in the New York Times that he's never changed who he is. He's going out swinging. He came in swinging. He's going out swinging. One of our other personal favorites, who we just talked to yesterday, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz on repealing health care.
Which actually will explode the deficit by $143 billion in the first 10 years and a trillion over the second 10.
Oh, I got it wrong. I said $134 billion earlier today. I apologize. My bad. $143 billion. It will explode the deficit. Just saying.
Billion here, billion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money.
You know what is hilarious to watch? If you saw her on Face the Nation, she frequently is on opposite Michelle Bachmann. Which that is...
That's a battle of wits.
Yeah,
right there.
Not there. That's a... You can just sort of see the thought bubble above Debbie's head. She's always very polite, and she's just like, oh,
you
dear God.
Moron.
Oh, my
dear God. And now, of course, we talked yesterday about there is speculation that fat, crazy Michelle Bachmann might run for president. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Wow. She won't say whether she's running for president. Since the focus should be on making sure President Obama isn't elected to a second term. She said, I think what people are asking for is a bold, strong, constitutional conservative. And I think we're going to find out who that person is. But the main focus right now needs to be on the fact that we cannot afford a second term for
Obama. You don't be the man. Unlike Michael Steele.
Yes, ABC News first reported, broke the news, that she's seriously considering running.
Good.
That's almost a better idea than Sarah Palin.
We encourage that.
I think the both of them, don't you?
Yes, and they have a cat fight over who gets to be the first slot. It'd be a cavalcade of dumb.
Just to see those debates, oh boy. All right. The new Senate, of course, in session as well. Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon, yesterday.
The Jimmy Stewart filibuster. And that is what this reform does. It says when folks object to concluding debate, it's because they have something to say. And so we're going to require they come to the floor and say it.
I think that's a good change, don't you? Mm-hmm. That and the secret holds? Yes, absolutely.
Official Washington is here to see democracy's finest show of filibuster. Mm-hmm. The right to talk your head off. The American privilege of free speech in its most dramatic form.
All right, and Senator Mitch...
Mr. Potter, you're nothing but a warped, frustrated old man.
Wrong movie. Yeah, sorry.
Senator Mitch McLiplis.
The founders crafted the Senate to be different. They crafted it to be deliberate.
Oh, sure.
A thoughtful place. And changing the rules and the way that's been proposed would unalterably change the Senate itself.
What's he talking about?
Because you would... Wouldn't those be the words you'd use to describe the Senate in the last couple of years, Jim? Deliberate, thoughtful. Yeah. Productive?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. David Bender was just on with us earlier, and he said he thinks that it will pass, the filibuster changes. So, I don't know. We'll see. All right. Even Bill Kristol, by the way, calling out that crazy Michelle Bachmann, the aforementioned presidential candidate. Oh, please, God. Okay. Yes. When Bill Kristol thinks you're silly... She is silly. They're just that's the only thing that can be said of some of these candidates. They're just silly. He's despite the dire consequences, conservatives are attempting to hold the debt ceiling vote hostage to extort draconian cuts to federal programs. Representative Michelle Bachmann has even launched an ad campaign to stoke public support for her plan. She's demanding Congress go cold turkey to eliminate the deficit before the debt ceiling comes up for a vote.
Hmm.
What was the word, Jim?
So eliminate all spending. Oh, what? Dumbjurous.
Dumbjurous.
Yes, it's very dumbjurous.
A combination of dumb and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even conservative stalwart Bill Kristol, who says he is a fan of Bachmann, calls her plan a silly position, noting there's no turkey cold enough to enable us to avoid raising the debt ceiling. He said, this is irresponsible. I've seen no plausible plan that would enable us to go, quote, cold turkey, to use her term, fast enough or dramatically enough that we could reduce the deficit to zero in a few months, which is what it would be required if Congress were not to authorize an increase in the debt ceiling. I mean, yeah, it really is. It's dumbjurous, just campaign rhetoric that, and you know, we talked about this, the governing's different than campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in her case, not. It's like, oh, really? Oh, you're actually going to do this ridiculous, dangerous, silly thing? And apparently, yes.
Well, it would never pass.
You said yes.
No, but what I'm saying is that this is even conservatives are talking about the danger of this, that if enough of, there are enough of these dumbjurous candidates that they might say, yes, we need to show the Tea Party that we have principles.
Yes.
That's the danger.
Eliminate
they're saying enough
all
people,
spending on everything.
Yes, because, well.
Except things in my district.
Because, as you know, Barack Obama inherited absolutely no deficit from George Bush. So why we couldn't reduce it to zero immediately.
We got too much of a surplus. That means y'all are paying too much taxes.
I think too many Republicans know what a dangerous thing this is, where something like this wouldn't pass.
Yeah,
I don't think it would pass.
I think perhaps more people than just the Democrats when Michelle Bachmann's on TV bury their head in their hands and go, oh God. I think Republicans do too. They're just
Oh my God.
Oh, her boyfriend, her congressional boyfriend, the stunning Steve King.
Yes. From Iowa?
Yes. Did you see, I think we mentioned this yesterday, so, you know, they obviously all ran against a government health care. Just five Republican members at last count said they had been willing to forego their own government health care coverage. Steve King declined to join them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's for the little people.
He told CNN's Wolf Blitzer that he gives Joe Walsh, the Republican that did decline it, he gives him a lot of credit for standing on principle, even though King said he will not forego his government coverage. Blitzer said, will you stay on it? He said, I don't intend to pull off of it, but I give Joe a lot of credit for that. I went to Joe to help him in the campaign. I give him a lot of credit for standing on principle.
That's the Rocky Mountain way.
Fully.
Oh, no, it's the other Joe Walsh. That's right. Okay.
Life's been good to him so far.
Yeah. His Maserati does 185.
Oh, yeah. Really? I've heard.
Yeah. Yes. All right. It is official, as we announced yesterday. Robert Gibbs is leaving his post as White House press secretary. He will leave the podium early February to lend outside assistance to the president's reelection campaign. Robert Gibbs.
You have to admit there's a bubble in here to some degree. So I think having new voices and having fresh voices, some of those voices that are coming back from having taken a couple of years off, are an important part of this process.
My most memorable moment of Robert Gibbs, I told you this story. I was in the car with Ed and Wendy Schultz.
Yes.
And Ed kind of pretty much got in a, you know, kind of a screaming match with Robert Gibbs.
As Ed is wont to do.
Wendy looked like she just was going to melt into the seat. Just, oh, God. Oh, God. She really looked in, you know, gastrointestinal distress of some kind. I was like, it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be all right.
Ed's a big guy. You don't want him yelling at you.
No,
it was kind of intimidating.
It was very heated, the conversation. Yeah. David Axelrod, the president's longtime political advisor, will exit the White House to work for the campaign. Axelrod will be replaced by David Plouffe, who emails me constantly. Who ran Obama's
Who just wants money. That's the only reason he emails you. Okay.
Typical man, just trying to use me. All right. Speaking of boy, oh boy, fighters, Harry Reid. Who would have thought we would have seen that? Took the oath of the office yesterday. A lot of people never thought that would happen. Fresh off the re-election campaign that many, the one thing you can count on is most political pundits wrong. Wrong. They thought he would never survive. He walked into the Senate chamber ready to take the oath of office. He put his hand on the book, and Vice President Joe Biden swore him into office for another 6 years, which is a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big effing deal.
All right, because apparently the bitches in Nevada did get it together.
Speaking of Vice President Biden, did you see Ron Wyden's kids yesterday stole the speech that Biden was about ready to give out of his hand and wouldn't give it back?
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, he had to play games with them to try and get the speech back. It was hysterical.
Yeah. We've had Ron Wyden on. We'll have him on for a parenting lesson next time. What did you have to bribe your kids with to get your speech back?
Biden had to use his
funny. Kids are funny.
His golden negotiating skills in order to get that speech back.
Oh, you could have just taken someone else's.
Did it have to do with the debt ceiling or something? What was the negotiation? Was it over tax cuts? How did he get the speech back?
I think it was over candy, actually. He offered them candy, and that's what got it back.
That might work with some of the Republicans. They're just dumbgerous enough. Hmm? Mm. Dots? You didn't say you had dots. Lemonheads?
Oh, Lemonheads.
Mm.
Ew.
Mm. Got anything
how
great?
About those Haribo licorice things?
Blah.
Mm. Got anything grapey?
Necco wafers? how is that a candy?
Speaking of changes in the White House staff, Howard Dean blasted the...
Marzipan.
Howard Dean blasted the way the White House has been run and said the house cleaning currently underway is a much-needed overhaul. He said President Obama has thus far been ill-served by a group of senior advisors around the president who've been here in Washington for 20 years and thought they knew everything and we knew nothing. Interesting, a lot of debate already around Bill Daley. He is for Bill Daley. He said that will change dramatically if Bill Daley comes in, throwing his support behind the possible selection of Daley as the president's next chief of staff. He said he's a grown-up. Daley, the former he was a commerce secretary under Clinton. and the brother of Chicago Mayor Richard Daley. He said, it's a trial balloon that has generally been well received. Some liberals wary of his recent work in investment banking. Here we go again with the, like, even something hasn't even happened and the liberals are splitting on it. Howard Dean loves it. Chris Matthews loves the pick. And, you know, as far as I can tell, I think Keith Olbermann, and I'm not sure about Rachel Maddow, you know, because what's Morgan Stanley? Who does he work? Who did he? He was a. His recent job was in investment banking. I forget which.
Yeah.
Howard Dean said if it is Bill Daley, he knows Washington, but he is not of Washington. That's incredibly important. It will be a mutual atmosphere of respect, and it'll be a huge tone change. He also said he's optimistic about Obama's reelection chances and said he does not anticipate the president facing a primary challenge because that's been floated out there.
Right.
When people were bitching and moaning, he said, I think it's incredibly unlikely. He hopes no one is considering it, and he said, I certainly won't. The challenge, he said, is going to be to reawaken the electorate that voted for Obama in 2008. If all the same people voted in 2012, he said Obama would win easily. Republican gains in 2010, he said, were largely a function of a smaller, older, whiter electorate. Talking to you, Tea Party. But that's true. That really is true. We bitches got to get it together, as Joe Biden would say, in 2012. Yeah. Exactly.
Big deal. All he has to do is give us some candy.
All right.
We'll get it together.
Listen, I will personally give you all lemon heads if you just get it together in 2012. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it, let me rock it. Stephanie Miller. Let me rock it, that's all I want to do. Let me rock it, rock it.
Fifty-one minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Dan in Minnesota, you're on The Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning,
hey, Michelle Bachmann is my non-representative. Ew. And I'll tell you, if she decides that she's going to run for president, I am going to switch my political affiliation to Republican just so I can support her in the primaries.
Yeah. We ought to. Yeah.
I want to see her debate President Obama. I really want to see that. I want to see that happen.
Awesome. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, yes, he may be a constitutional scholar, Dad, but, you know, she's going to have finished a class.
That's
by
true.
Then.
That's true.
Her little class.
I think it was Michelle Bachmann that taunted Obama before he became our president as a media or as a celebrity candidate. So I'm not sure if she's seen herself on television, but she's on TV an awful lot.
Yeah, she's on every channel all the time. So, yeah.
The irony is rich. The irony is rich.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Maybe you should teach Obama a class on the Constitution since she's such an expert.
Yeah, that's like the whole debate maybe could be that. Can be her just giving them a book learning on the Constitution.
I think when they read every single word of the Constitution, they're not going to like some of the parts that they find in there.
Mm. Maybe that's when they'll bring in the FedEx guy or whoever that is that talks real fast. Just to, not FedEx. What am I thinking of, Jim? You know, the voiceover guy that speaks really fast. Oh, come on, help me out here.
I don't remember.
Throw Mama a water weenie. Anyway,
that was from the 70s. I barely was born then.
Shush. Anyway, the guy that talks really fast. I'll just talk. Okay. All right, Jim, I don't know if you were, what drinking game you signed up for, but the boner cried actually before he started talking, which I don't know if anyone saw that coming. Moments after he was formally elected Speaker of the House, a teary John Boner formally made his way down the center aisle. It was mobbed by well-wishers, and so he cried, I think we said three times.
Yep.
And then he whipped out the hanky. My dad had one of those, Jim, is all I'm saying. I was a little nostalgic. My dad used to...
Did the hanky turn orange?
That'd be funny, wouldn't it? Yeah, my dad used to do that. But I was supposed to cry. I was a little girl. And he would, you know, whip out his hanky and let me blow my nose in and then put it back in his pocket and then presumably use it again later.
Well, John Boner is proving to be a little girl, too.
Anyway, he is a little madman. He is a little throwback. You know what I mean? He reminds me of that era of my dad a little bit. I don't know. So he obviously has the hanky because he probably has like a million of them. He probably has his pockets padded with them. Yeah, exactly.
All stained orange. Orange fingerprints all over.
Jim, I had a good idea earlier, and why could I not have gotten through to Nancy Pelosi? I thought it would have been funny if she sprayed a little orange pledge on the gavel before she handed it to him.
That would be great. Oh, well.
A little humor.
Why did he need a gavel that big?
Because he's a little insecure about his manhood, clearly. That has to be the first time in the history of a new speaker that a joke was made. Nancy Pelosi clearly making a joke about, you know, he's a size queen, obviously. He had to choose the biggest gavel. All right, celebrities. Hey, look, it's celebrity. I'm getting celebrity stack in my politics.
What? Why?
I would love this. Alec Baldwin said he's very, very interested in running for political office, but was not planning to give up his day job anytime soon. I think he'd be fabulous.
Hmm.
And if you don't vote for him...
You're a thoughtless little pig!
Exactly.
I'm coming down there to sort you out!
Just saying, his campaign slogans speak for themselves. If you don't vote for me, you are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Rude, thoughtless little pig!
Although I think he's moved beyond that, and he's more famous for 30 Rock.
Yes, I think so, too.
Yeah.
And he probably wouldn't appreciate me driving him back into that
really
scandal.
Wouldn't. And we're never going to get him on the show because of that. Thank
you. No, he likes me. I interviewed him once.
Oh, well, well when?
Before, it was a while back.
Before the rude, thoughtless little pig stuff.
Pardon me. Well, Jim did it. He's the one that he happens to do an eerily accurate Alec Baldwin impression.
Jim did it on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
Yes, it's his fault for everything. And now we're never going to get Fred Thompson on either, since his radio show was apparently canceled. Oh, I guess he can go take a nap now is the good news.
I'm pretty tired. Mm. Think I'll go home now.
Can I get a round of applause? No? All right.
It's been 2 years since the former U.S. Senator Fred Thompson took over the slot vacated by Bill O'Reilly. That was a huge gaping void to fill, as it was in radio entertainment. And so it looks like Westwood One has...
You're fired.
They have Doug Urbanski instead.
Who?
I don't know who it is either.
Who?
But it apparently is somebody who is better than Fred Thompson, which maybe is not a high bar. But, you know, I don't know, Chris. You know how radio is. It's hard to believe that someone else, some other syndicator, wouldn't pick up that piece of entertainment there, the Fred Thompson radio show.
That big steaming pile of entertainment.
So he might, it might not really be gone because that was a energetic,
Welcome
zippy little...
to the Fred Thompson Show. Today, I will be reading the first page of my new screenplay.
I'm not sure which radio executive thought that would be a, but that's radio for you.
This thing will get
Look,
out
he's
of
a big
hand.
Name.
He's got a name. He must be able to do radio.
Oh, boy. Okay.
You'll all be lucky to survive it.
Okay.
Can I have a round of applause? What? No applause in radio? Oh.
Okay. Yeah, that was it. Was almost as good as his presidential run, is what I'm told about his little radio show.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good luck to him, though.
We wish him all the
Yes,
best.
We do. We wish him well. All right. Look, did you see my friend, my best friend, Valerie Bertinelli, who apparently my invitation to the wedding was lost? She wore a sky blue gown for her wedding. I don't know what that means. It's
Since her son was there, she's obviously not going to wear white. I mean, come on.
Because she obviously had sex once with Eddie Van Halen, is what you're saying.
Yes.
I'm thinking more than that.
She got married.
I am too.
Really?
That's why his hips went out, I think.
We apologize to Valerie Bertinelli. We have no idea what. Yeah, Eddie Van Halen was there. Oh, my God. There's a picture of her totally poofy 80s white wedding dress that she wore to Eddie Van Halen in the same People magazine. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't at the 80s when they
so
got
it
married?
Was a poofy white, you know, it's that wedding cake dress you had to get in the 80s.
That's a puffy shirt.
Well, you didn't get one in the 80s.
No. I clearly probably never will. Let's see. Both delisted writing, both Us Weekly and OK Magazine, calling Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds lying-ass liars for denying their genitals have spent intimate time together.
Oh, dear.
Well, she probably has a low bar after Jesse James, don't you think?
Although he is People's Sexiest Man of the Year, so her standards have obviously gone up.
She's picked herself up and brushed herself off.
That's right.
It's like, do you have Nazi stuff? No? Okay, let's go.
Start all over again.
And he does have some abs.
Yes. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Representative Rosa DeLauro next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I'm
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Don't forget tomorrow, Fridays with Fuglesang. John Fuglesang, our buddy, our pal, joins us in the New York Bureau. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Well, we got us a shiny new Congress, and one of our personal favorite members, Representative Rosa DeLauro of the great state of Connecticut, joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I am fine. Have you been subjected to the reading of the Constitution yet?
Well, I'm actually in the cloakroom, and they're beginning the process on the reading of the Constitution.
And I'm going to guess, as you being one of the smarter members of Congress, you've probably already read that before you became a Congresswoman.
I have read the Constitution, and I say, this is a document that doesn't belong to any political party.
That's right.
It belongs to the nation, and it is bedrock. It is where our the genius of our founding fathers, and we all take great, great pride in the Constitution. And each and every day, I think people who come to serve both in the House and the Senate take very, very seriously their responsibilities to the people that sent them here, but also their responsibilities to the Constitution and the government and what they're here to do.
Yeah. Well, I think it was yesterday, I believe, we played a sound clip of you talking about their next act after the reading his repealing health care. You call it political theater, a kabuki dance, the repeal of health care.
I did. Right.
Yeah. Is not obviously going to happen. It seems like an enormous waste of the people's time when we have so many pressing problems in this country, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, the focus, and, the Republicans have talked about the focus, and clearly Democrats have, is about creating jobs, about protecting the middle class, about deficit reduction. These are very, very important challenges that we face, not just one party, but we face as a nation. And I think that, they have really turned this on its head in coming here and not focusing like a laser on these issues. But rather sidetracked. Now, I believe it is political theater. I think it does. It's about supporting their base. And I say that, and I also say at the same time, we have got, to stop them. Think about what repealing health care means.
Mm-hmm.
It would, it does not protect the middle class. It increases the deficit.
Well, it really is kind of stunning hypocrisy, isn't it?
Right.
This is the party that just ran on reducing the deficit. And then they passed this pledge to America that says everything's got to be paid for. They've exempted this already, their first act, from that rule, because they know full and well that it cuts $143 billion from the deficit.
Exactly. And over a period of time, it's $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And you'll also, dealing with laying off people.
Yeah.
So it is hypocrisy.
Well,
on their part.
Congresswoman, I talked earlier on the show about, hearing Rush Limbaugh basically say this isn't true, the $143 billion, like suddenly the Congressional Budget Office is some sort of, communist organization. I mean, this is the nonpartisan budget office that both parties have, relied on and used their numbers to cite, for various arguments. How is this suddenly, we're arguing about math?
Well, we're looking at people who, when the CBO supports what they're talking about, they, extol the virtue of a CBO. And when it is contrary to what they said, then, my God, it's inaccurate. They've made a mistake. They're lying, and all of these things. And that happens time and time again. But you're right. CBO is nonpartisan. And look, when we were working on the health care bill, and CBO would say, you're going over the $900 billion that the president talked about as the goal,
right.
That had it, we go back and you scale back. So you have they provide a valuable service, they are nonpartisan, and that is their number.
Well, the thing, I guess, that I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but, the other thing they ran on is transparency. And of course, they're going to put this through without amendments, without discussion. I think part of the reason, as we were talking about earlier, is they know if you go to the House floor, they have to explain why you're going to start discriminating against people for pre-existing conditions, why they want to add $143 billion to the deficit over the next 10 years. I think that's where, Congresswoman, they've won the messaging war. I think you may have saw this latest poll. 15% of Americans know that this reduces the deficit. And I think the more they hear that and know that, the more popular it's going
to
be.
Right. Well, that's why it's important to, to stand up and, as I said, to, you know, stop them at this effort, because people need to know about the deficit consequences, but they also need to know, and some are already, you know, they said repeal. What do you deal with regard to replacing? As you pointed out, what happens? Look, I have a pre-existing condition. I'm a cancer survivor.
Yep.
People don't want to insure me. The fact is that now that people can get their children who have been in the past designated with a pre-existing condition, if they've had asthma or diabetes or so forth, that no longer exists. So let me talk to you about seniors. Do you think seniors who are now going to get a 50% rebate on brand-name drugs, those who have fallen into this donor hole,
yep.
do you think that they want to give that up?
Yep.
You talk to your mother or grandmother.
No, I talked
to that situation.
No, and my mom is. I talked to your colleague Debbie Wasserman Schultz yesterday, and my mom is 88 years old with breast cancer, and you know, absolutely in the donut hole. And that's what I mean. I think that, you know, more this is debated again, and people realize really what the Republicans would be trying to take away with this. Of course, they don't want to debate it.
That's the
in the open.
What gets repealed, and what are they talking? They've not said one thing about replacing any of this, and it goes on and on and on. Small businesses now can get a tax subsidy of a third of the premium if they offer health care to their employees. You've got insurance companies are prohibited from continuing to place lifetime caps on coverage, and annual caps are going to be phased out. The families whose kids are just graduated from college, they can now stay on until age 26. Do you think people are going to be willing to give that up? They are not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, which is why, as they know, this is just an enormous waste of time. I mean, I suppose it's just throwing a bone to the Tea Party activists that
That's right.
got
they're,
them there, isn't it?
They're shoring up their political base, which is why I characterized it the way that I did.
Yeah,
it's
well,
a political theater and a kabuki dance.
Well, but it, you know, more importantly, it's a waste of time when you know we really have such pressing things to get to, don't we?
Well, it is, but there's two things there, I don't make light of this. Health care, people's ability to have health care when they need it is critical. These are matters of life and death for people. People in this institution have health care. It's easy to talk about trying to repeal a bill that, for the first time in 100 years, moves us to making sure that people in this country have health care. So it really is so outrageous. And when you think about taking the responsibility that you have, a moral responsibility of government, And on that count, it really defies imagination that they would take such a transformative piece of legislation that will change people's lives for the better in terms of the quality of care they get, their ability to get health care, and the affordability of health care.
Well, you know, and I keep saying, Congresswoman DeLauro, that governing, you know, as they're going to find out, is different than campaigning. But so far, it seems to me they're just campaigning. I mean, you know, the first couple of things, they're not doing anything. They're reading the Constitution and repealing health care, which is not going to happen. And then, you know, but the one thing I do worry about is what they are going to do. I mean, are there enough of them? Are there enough of them that really can vote against the debt ceiling that could, you know, cause a worldwide financial catastrophe?
It may. They may, but they are in charge of governing. That's going to be their responsibility. But you take a look at the budget. They're talking about, you know, another area where they've got to get stopped is to try to make, you know, such radical changes to the budget that it, in fact, does hurt the economy, but it hurts people. And that has to do with education or transportation or a whole medical research, a whole variety of other areas. They're talking about $100 billion. But they don't talk specifically. They just are talking numbers because they're afraid to approach this to let people know what they are thinking about. You made the point about the deficit before. This is so disingenuous, given the rules package that they passed yesterday,
yep.
that you know they can extend the Bush. If they were so interested in deficit reduction, they would have never have voted and supported $700 billion in the extension of the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest people in this nation.
Yep.
And now they have provided themselves with the authority in this
yeah,
rules
their
package.
First two acts have increased the deficit by $700 billion, and then, you know, it, with health care, they would be, you know, adding another $143 billion. I mean, it really is stunning.
And not created one job.
Yep.
Not
and
provided anything that says this is how we create jobs.
And speaking of it being a whole new world, so Daryl Issa, who has called President Obama the most corrupt president mm-hmm. in our history, really, Daryl? Really? Now, you know, has written to all these business leaders asking them which regulations they would like to be, you know, to be repealed.
Right. Tell us what you wanted to do so we can repeal, and so we go back to self-regulation. Now, let's head back to the financial institutions. We have found out self-regulation does not work. That brought us to our financial knees in this nation.
Yep, absolutely.
And what they want to do is to go back to self-regulation.
Congresswoman DeLauro, this conversation has been profoundly depressing, but good luck to you. Godspeed.
Don't get depressed. You know, you play with the hand you have, and
that's
you
right.
go at it. You
that's
go
right.
At
and
it.
God help you.
Okay.
All right. Representative Rosa DeLauro, thank you so much for the great state of Connecticut. All right.
We have a little bit of breaking news.
Yes. What is it, Chris LaVoy, Cub reporter?
Ironically, Representative Michelle Bachmann has landed a post on the Intelligence Committee.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you know what? The isn't it ironic file just exploded. There is nothing.
Isn't it ironic?
Nothing will ever be ironic again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The most dumdurous leader currently in Congress.
Yes. On the
trademarked in Warren.
On the
okay.
intelligence.
Combination of dumb and dangerous. Okay,
Indeed.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Intelligence Committee. How do you spell intelligence?
Shell, you're speaking into the wrong end of the microphone. Try it. Okay. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome
Do
to it.
Do it.
24 minutes after the hour. Oh, look at this. The boner's not even in the same room while they're reading the Constitution, because that's just a waste of time, isn't it?
It's a big waste of time. I know the Constitution backwards and forwards. And every single part of it makes me cry.
Can I just say, you know, when we were saying the war has already started between the Tea Party and establishment Republicans. So far, the Tea Party winning. Ridiculous reading of the Constitution, repeal of health care, and now they put Michelle Bachmann on, wait for it, the House Intelligence Committee. Danielle in Indiana on the boner. Hi, Danielle.
Morning, Mama. And
morning,
Luke.
Baby.
How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I called today because my 16-year-old niece, who does pay attention to things and makes me happy in when I think about the young kids, she told me the other day, a drunk walks into a K Street bar. The bartender looks up and says, Mr. Speaker, what can I get you?
Hey, all right, thank you. Okay.
I wonder if a boner's going to be on the Emotional Security Committee. Emotional Stability Committee. That'd be there.
Charles in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Charles.
Hi. Hi. I got two things here. First of all, this Obamacare.
You guys yesterday were talking about Obamacare being a bad word. You know what those guys at the White House did? They totally co-opted the term. They bought it. If you go to Google now and enter Obamacare,
oh, yeah.
First thing comes up is healthcare.com.
Yeah, I heard Rush Limbaugh's head exploding over that.
You know, you get that White House propaganda now if you Google Obamacare.
And then here's the other thing. This is local. Tim Pawlenty, when he before he left office, he opted Minnesota out of the general assistance medical care.
Nice.
And our new Governor Dayton, yesterday, his first official act was to reverse that. But he was flash mobbed by a bunch of righties, and they all came in, you know, to the reception area, and they were making a lot of noise. And he totally co-opted them, too, by asking them to speak. He said, for everybody that speaks on my side, I'll let somebody speak on your side. And he had five people lined up, and he decided just to have two of them. And this one doofus named Leon Moe, should be Larry Moe in Yuck Yuck, but it's Leon Moe. He's a Vietnam vet. He's a Vietnam vet, and he said that he had federally unfunded insurance for veterans, but he said the federal government shouldn't be involved. And this is from the Pioneer Press today. It's the St. Paul paper. It says, Dayton asked his supporters in the audience to be respectful when they snickered as Mo said he has been getting his medical care courtesy of the VA for the past 41 years. Oh. The guy's effing clueless. And one more quick thing.
Yes.
My wife is a doctor at the VA and has been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time the government shut down, this generally isn't known, it's not put out there, but there were people that died. There was somebody that died at the VA hospital in Minneapolis because he was waiting for a bone marrow transplant. And he during the wait, he stumbled, he fell, he died. If he had gotten the bone marrow transplant on time,
yep.
So this is not just like a speculative,
we'll see
what happens. We
That's
know what happens.
Right. That's
People
right.
die.
That's right. That's right. All right.
That's
hey, the boner's
especially
talking.
Especially in Nevada with
Arizona.
Brewer.
Arizona.
Arizona.
You know what I mean.
Hey, let's see if the boner's crying
after
or
this
not.
Bill was passed. That this bill ought to be repealed and replaced with common sense reforms to lower the cost of health insurance.
We outlined
on September 24th when we put the Pledge to America out there, our commitment to the American people that we would repeal this job-killing bill. The American people understand this bill.
How does it kill jobs?
The members of Congress
hasn't explained
all
that.
Get a chance. They've all had to debate it during their elections. They've all had a chance to discuss it. And the fact is that the committees are not constituted yet, and we want to begin action. So I believe that it's fair. When
he
it
keeps
comes
calling
to
it
spending,
a bill. It's a law.
You remember that we called for 2008 spending levels to be enacted going back to August in a speech that I gave in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh,
on September 24th, we made clear in a pledge that we want to go back to 2008 spending levels.
The orange pledge.
And
when
if we'd been able to move
great.
On September 24th, we would have been able to go back to 2008 spending levels.
And global financial
But we're halfway
collapse.
Through the year. I will say this. We will meet our commitment to the pledge in this calendar year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Oh, boy. I can't take any more. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Frank Pallone next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
But when it comes to
Stephanie Miller,
I just get all flustered. How could you not? I mean, the girl's all eyes and boobs.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. George in Chicago. Hey, George. Welcome.
Hey, my love. Happy New Year.
Hello. Happy New Year to you.
I'm not a fireman, but I think I could make you hot.
All right. Go ahead, George.
Just a couple of very brief observations. And this is based on what Boner just said about the 2008 budget. It's proof that Republicans lie reflexively, intuitively, because they practice at it. It's natural form. Mm-hmm. They go right into lying immediately. Of course he wants to go back to 2008 spending levels because they were carrying two wars off budget.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
they didn't show up. And there were a number of other items that I'm not familiar with that they were also carrying off budget. And President Obama and the Democrats have stopped that lying and that dishonesty by putting those things on budget. Second thing perhaps you could bring on an expert on alcoholism who could look into the correlation between inappropriate, inappropriate weeping and alcoholism. And perhaps we could propose a resolution that every time the boner weeps without explanation, that he would be thrown to the ground and a blood sample would be drawn, and he'd have to breathe into a bag.
Yeah, a breathalyzer or something.
What alcohol content is when he's weepy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not just driving a car. He's second in line for the presidency, for God's sakes. He should have to take a breathalyzer, something.
There should be
maybe
a breathalyzer in the gavel.
A little coordination exercise.
Every time he wields it, an alarm goes off.
Yeah, he should have that little set of punch buttons that you have to have on a car if you've been convicted of a DUI. He can't pick up the gavel until he can put the sequence in.
I love to see him trying to touch his nose. Just, all right, okay. Into the tank for you. All right.
I have nothing to do with it.
All right. Has the Speaker of the House ever been pulled over? Just while driving the gavel, essentially? I don't know. We'll find out. All right. Representative Frank Pallone from the great state of New Jersey joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Hi. Good morning, Stephanie. How you doing?
Do you mean to tell me that you were missing the reading of the Constitution for this silly little radio show?
No, I actually did read it.
Did you? Oh, well.
That's
yes.
why I'm late, because I was reading this section.
Is that the ultimate, like, hypocrisy? Here's John Boehner just giving a press conference. He's not even there for the reading of the Constitution. That's like admitting it's just a dumb political stunt, right?
Well, I didn't know that he wasn't there, actually. I have to be honest with you that I actually kind of enjoyed it. It was, kind of interesting because some of the sections are sort of obscure and you haven't necessarily heard of them. So it wasn't a bit. I think it was a nice idea.
And Democrats are reading portions of it, so you really did stand up and read a portion of it.
Yeah, what they did is they alternated between the Democrats and the Republicans.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know what happened with me when I read the section. You know, we were not assigned the sections that we were supposed to talk about. We just lined up first come first served, Democrat versus Republican. But when I just finished reading the section, they brought up the thing about my section was talking about qualifications for president. And so somebody in the gallery got up and started talking about, screaming out about Obama not being qualified. And they had to remove the person. So it was kind of bad,
Boy, it's perfect for the first Tea Party Congress. We had a birther in the gallery, and boy, oh boy.
I think the boner should read the part about the repeal of prohibition.
They haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah, a lot of stifled laughter. So, Congressman, then obviously what the press conference was just about that we just went to live was repealing health care, which, what a ridiculous exercise.
Well, the thing is, first of all, look, if you want to talk about jobs, which is what we really should be talking about, the health care reform actually creates jobs. I mean, you talk about in order to cover everyone, which we actually cover almost, 95-96% of Americans eventually with the bill, you're going to have more doctors, more nurses, more health aides, and more money being spent on research on different diseases and hospitals. So, it actually is a stimulus. I think the problem is that, they just want to do this for ideological reasons. And what they really should be doing is focusing on jobs and the economy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, we just went to John Boehner speaking press conference. Of course, he keeps calling it the job-killing health care bill.
Which is
what, do they? Yeah, right. But, Congressman, do they ever say how? How does it,
in their opinion,
kill jobs?
This is what they're up to. They realize that the American people want us to focus on jobs and the economy and don't want us to revisit the health care debate, okay?
Right.
And so they're trying to say that the reason we're doing this is because it's going to, kill jobs. In fact, it's the opposite. It creates jobs. It's one of the biggest economic stimulus you could have because you need a lot more health care professionals and you need a lot more. You're going to need more buildings, to take care of people. So, it's absurd. But that's why they're saying that, because they realize that the public doesn't want them to deal with this repeal and would rather that we focus on jobs and the economy.
Right. Well, I just wonder, I guess, my frustration sometimes is with the media. Do they ever ask, how do you think this, how do they say it kills jobs?
I have no idea.
What does it have to do?
It's very much the opposite.
I know. Well, let's talk about jobs and the economy, because as you say, that really, I wonder how long the American people's patience is. It's like, okay, that's cute. You read the Constitution. Okay, you're going to try to repeal health care, which, we know is going to get stopped in the Senate or vetoed by the president. Now what? Let's get down to business, which is the economy. economy and jobs. What do you think? What are they going to actually try to do to help us with that?
Well, I think very little. I think most of what they're actually discussing is going to actually hurt the economy. Now, you know, we did in the end of the lame duck pass the bill that the president worked out with the, you know, on a bipartisan basis that does have some major, tax cuts or continuation of tax cuts, and that also provides a lot of credit, you know, tax credits for child care, education, and other initiatives. So, I mean, I think that in terms of actually cutting taxes to the extent that that has a stimulative effect, that was done in the lame duck. I mean, I think that if they continue on the road of, cutting the federal budget so that it impacts, you know, for example, transportation, we need a major transportation initiative here if we're going to keep the economy going and create jobs. If they do the opposite, which they seem to be determined to do, which is actually cut back, for example, on federal spending on transportation for roads and highways, that's actually going to hurt the economy. So, I'm very concerned that, that we're just getting more of the same from the Republicans. Okay, we may have done some tax cuts, but we want more, and we want to cut federal funding for things like transportation and education and other initiatives that actually are helping the economy.
Well, as you bring up transportation, I mean, to me, Exhibit A is John Kasich, the new Republican governor of Ohio, has killed the train.
Exactly.
In Ohio, and they keep talking about private sector jobs. He just killed a whole bunch of private sector jobs.
Mantra,
plus, yeah.
This mantra that many of the Republican governors are giving out, which is that, we should eliminate, mass transit and, federal train, funding for trains. I mean, this is a disaster. I mean, this is going to eliminate jobs. I mean, we had the same thing in New Jersey where our governor cut out a tunnel project, that went between New Jersey and New York to build an additional tunnel for trains. And that was a stimulus initiative, essentially, and it was being paid for by the federal and the state government jointly. And now we're seeing governors across, Republican governors across the nation basically cutting these mass transit projects. It's not a good thing for the economy.
Well, let's hope they continue to govern that way, because I think Kasich's approval rating is down 7 points before he's even taken office. So, this is the problem, right? When you go, okay, this is all campaign rhetoric. Let's see how they're going to govern. And
exactly.
Thus far, it sure doesn't look hopeful, does it?
No, I agree with you.
Well, the only hopeful thing in my morning was talking to you. So at least there's someone sane in the trenches for us. Representative Frank Pallone, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right.
Take care.
There he goes. I like him. He's warm and chuckly.
He is. I like him, too.
John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the new Congress as well. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, cannabis exempts from the drug-free workplace law, where you can't be drunk or drugged up at work?
Yeah, one would wonder, is John Boehner under the same rules the rest of us are?
Yes, that's a good question, isn't it?
It is. I think someone should ask him.
Well,
that.
Different workplaces have different rules. I mean, we can come in just falling down.
Plastered, and often
most
do.
Most of us have. Yeah.
This isn't Congress. All I got to do is, for instance, stories like this. Don't you? This is from the Don't You Hate When This Happens stack. An S&M enthusiast was stopped by cops as he slavishly obeyed an order from his dominatrix to walk through a German town wearing just his leather fetish outfit.
Oh, dear.
Don't you hate that?
Also known as Lidoism.
It's the whole point. You're supposed to do what your dominatrix tells you to, and then the cops got to come along and be a buzzkill.
Remember on the old show, we had that dominatrix come in?
Yes. She made
me very...
Who
do I obey, the Polizei or my dominatrix? I don't know what to do.
She made me very uncomfortable.
That was a very interesting show.
Well, I'm kind of a control freak myself, so I don't do well with dominatrixes.
Who greenlighted that show?
Somebody drunk, because
you're dominatrix.
That's an inside joke from a long time ago about an old producer. All right, let's not. We're getting tired. All right. And in other international pervert news, Finland's Supreme Court finds nipple-sucking doctor.
What?
Huh? Sometimes you got to just do something that wakes Jim up a little bit.
You can do that in Finland?
Well, no.
Finland's Supreme Court has ruled that a physician who sucked a female patient's, you know, during
nipple.
A medical...
Nipple.
Yes,
you can
I,
say
guess
nipple.
I guess I already said it. I didn't think I should repeat it, but then you brought
it
attention
you sound
to it.
Worse well, when you...
Are you drunk?
You
nipple, nipple,
something
nipple.
Else.
Anyway, he sucked that during a medical exam.
Yes.
Well, that makes it sound even worse, Stephanie.
He's guilty of sexual harassment and official misconduct. A 20-year-old woman visited the doctor for an ultrasound breast exam. Oh, that's a new technique. Ooh. I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, it's natural ultrasound.
Nipple, nipple, nipple.
The court found that while the doctor's unorthodox methods were not sexual in nature.
No, of course
what?
Not.
No. No, there might have been poison in there. You don't know.
Snake bite.
He had sought sexual gratification. By performing a sexual act under the auspice of a medical exam, he took advantage of the patient's trust and abused his position. Hey, you know what? I might get those mammograms more often if that was part of it. Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, the superficial reporting, Brett Favre's. Penis has struck again.
What?
I just wanted to even out the fact that we could say nipple, nipple, nipple.
Penis, penis, penis.
Mm-hmm. Two former...
It's not exactly the same.
Two former massage therapists for the New York Jets have filed a sexual harassment lawsuit against Brett Favre. They allege that he sent text messages to another unidentified massage therapist asking both of them to get together.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sure what that means, except that if he sent you a text message of his penis, I suppose, then that might...
So there's
this
no,
is regarding...
There's no happy ending to
did
this
Did he put
story,
that in the subject line? Subject line, my... That's the subject.
I have a snake bite on my penis, and I'd like...
and I'd like a Finnish female doctor to take care of that.
46 minutes after the hour. Back with a little Scotchmore celebrity stack next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
To the right.
It is
the left.
No. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Leave it to Squeezy McField Pants, Jim Ward, to have an update on the
Finnish doctor story.
The Finnish nipple sucking doctor
it
story.
It turns out the sucking of the patient's nipple is an old midwife's diagnostic trick that
really?
Has been used for
lesbian
years.
Lesbian midwife.
And when he confronted with this crime, the Finnish doctor exclaimed, "So Suomi!" Because you say Suomi is the name of, it's what they call their language in their country, in Finland. I always thought that should be the title of a
really
Helsinki sitcom, Finnish sitcom.
Did you really research that?
Yeah, it's right here on the Google.
Yes,
no, no, you
did.
Had to go out and look for that.
Yes.
Oh,
just so
my.
I could say. So
listen,
swimming.
He's a helper. I told him I'm really late for my mammogram this year, and he offered to his assistance.
Let me check, see what's going on over there.
Thanks. Thank you. All right. In earlier, the breaking news we reported, which made the Isn't It Ironic file explode, Michelle Bachmann was named to the House Intelligence Committee.
The monitor is the head of the Emotional Stability Committee.
Jim, who said, I find it interesting that it was back in the 70s the swine flu broke out under another Democratic president, Jimmy Carter. I'm not blaming this on President Obama. I just think it's an interesting coincidence. Who said that about the swine flu outbreak that happened under Gerald Ford?
Hermann Göring.
No, it was Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
The most dumbgerous member of Congress currently.
Okay, it was in the Ford administration.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hang on. Let's
see
here.
It was Jimmy
Just
Carter's
pick
fault.
Something out here. Carbon dioxide is portrayed as harmful, but there isn't even one study that can be produced that shows carbon dioxide is a harmful gas.
Randy Bachmann.
No, Michelle Bachmann. Her other greatest hits.
Not Montel Starr.
who said there are hundreds and hundreds of scientists, many of them holding Nobel Prizes, who believe in intelligent design.
No!
Oh, wow. Hundreds. Michelle Bachmann.
He's
given up.
What the hell?
Yeah, I was reading Time magazine. So apparently this was a rather Machiavellian move, putting her on the Health Intelligence Committee, because while on paper it's a prestigious assignment, the committee's workings are a hush-hush, so she can't open her big dumb yap on TV and further embarrass the Republican Party. One observer said, if you're looking for media and controversy, that's not the committee to be on. It's particularly rough for Bachmann, powered as she is by media attention. She accepted the appointment, though, in a particularly Mama Grizzly-esque manner, connecting the dots of motherhood and national security on her Facebook page. As a mother of 5 biological children and 23 foster children, yikes.
Okay.
How'd you like to be fostered by that?
Yikes.
Holy cow.
I pledge to do whatever I need to do to keep your family, my family, and the United States safe from harm. National security, of course, is not exactly the former tax attorney's forte, but...
Whatever.
So here's what we talked about on the Intelligence Committee. What do you mean I'm not supposed to talk about it?
And I got you guys. They were all like, whatever, about sensitive terrorist thing. I was like, well, hey. And he's like, whatever.
And he was all like, and I was all like, and then...
Yeah, boy.
It's because I'm smart. That's why I'm on...
Wow.
What?
On the intelligence thing.
There are dozens of scientists that say that evolution is a myth.
All right, superficial reporting. Lindsay Lohan was drunk or high in rehab.
Oh, boy.
sometimes. You know, it just doesn't take sometimes.
Isn't it Palm Desert rehab by now?
Palm Desert police are adamant that Lindsay Lohan violated her probation the night she allegedly attacked a Betty Ford employee, and now was certain she was definitely drunk or even high at the time. Oh, dear.
She attacked her with a bong and a bottle of bourbon.
Oh, boy. Her first move out of rehab, not much better. Did you? She apparently moved right next door to Samantha Ronson, her ex.
Oh, no.
Samantha Ronson tried to leave her Venice Beach apartment building, superficial reporting yesterday, only to find a moving van blocking the exit while unloading boxes into the building directly next to hers. Then she found out who the moving van belonged to, the new and improved Lindsay Lohan, who's clearly learned so much from her mistakes while in rehab that she moved right next door to the ex-girlfriend she's violently obsessed with.
Wow.
Oh, good. TMZ reports. Photographers tried to ask her about the situation, and she said, dude, I'm way too pissed right now.
Dude.
Dude. Michael Lohan was there walking around with Lindsay Lohan's clothing line catalog full of her in provocative poses. Superficial writing, I mean, Christ, the only thing missing from this psychological cluster is Dina trying to make gin come out of the faucets. What do you mean they're only for water? No. Here's Lindsay's credit card number. I memorized it. I want these things spraying beef eater before she even sets foot in here. I'm a mother.
That is a cluster of a family.
And another faucet of tonic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that.
That's
an idea.
Now that's
SodaStream.
You're an idea.
SodaStream.
SodaStream could do that.
We got tonic in one,
and gin in the other.
As long as you type Stephanie in the referral box.
Speaking of like dumb-jurous country that we can oftentimes be, former talk show host Montel Williams was busted with drug paraphernalia
at
Milwaukee's airport.
Medicinal marijuana.
It was a pipe. MS. Used for smoking pot. He, of course, was diagnosed with MS. His spokesman said he has prescriptions for many different medications for MS. One of the medications he has been prescribed to alleviate his chronic pain is medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. All right, so we all have to get our junk grabbed. Montel Williams got his smoked pot for his multiple sclerosis. Okay, I feel safer. All right, Glenn Close is speaking out about appearing briefly in one of those raunchy Navy videos.
Yeah.
She got a seemingly innocent request during a visit to the USS Enterprise a few years ago, and it was just a
snapshot.
Picture. Yeah, it was a snapshot of her, but she called the Navy video insulting. She played a in the TV movie Serving in Silence about Army officer Marguerite Kammermeier.
Yes.
But it was not from that. It was just a regular picture. Oh, and before we go, quickly, Justin Bieber's mom thinks he's Jesus. Seriously.
Oh, no.
She said after a personal encounter with God, she believes that she and Justin have been put on earth to bring light and inspiration to the world.
Okay, oh, boy. Then. Okay, Dina Lohan part two.
And so to all the people at lesbianswholooklikejustinbieber.com. All right, that's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.